you're here. Fellowship's real. Knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, February 18th, 2020. It's Testimony Tuesday. And if you were tuned in yesterday, my prayers have been answered, or some smaller prayers were answered. I was hoping I could have Robert back and then Jeff join us. And Jeff's one of my favorite kind of guests. He's reluctant. He really doesn't want to be in here. But he has a story to tell, and he doesn't realize that he's credentialed by God to share his testimony and to give God the glory. And I know he listens to the radio station, enjoys Unshackled and some other programs. He's an over-the-road semi-truck driver, married to Betty. How many children do you have, Jeff? I don't even know.
I have three.
I've played a few times in ping pong, but you and Robert are so advanced and beyond my league that I say you guys are good enough that you can hit my paddle wherever I move my paddle, even wrongly, and hit it so it returns back. But yesterday, if you're tuned in, you probably could hear Marianne's groans from home because we're talking about not ping pong, table tennis. That's the proper way to refer to the sport. But
I know Marianne would say, get on with it.
They're here all the time playing. They coach other players. They're really good. But we're here primarily with Testimony Tuesday to share some of the faith journey. And yesterday, if you were tuned in, we looked at Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And worship is just not what happens between 10:30 and noon in your church on Sunday. Worship can be a part of your lifestyle. It can be something as simple as changing a baby's diaper during the Sunday school hour as you're caring for the children in the nursery, because they're created in God's image and you're doing it to assist others so that they can be more engaged in worship. You can do your job and your profession as an act of worship, giving God the glory. You can just about do everything if you have the mindset that you're doing it for God's glory and to assist. So we started touching on that yesterday, and we didn't get to finish talking about it. And I know, Robert, recently a friend passed away that I'm sure some of our listeners may know. It was a tragic accident, but it touched you because it's one of these situations where you continued to see this individual a few times every year, but now he's in heaven.
I consider Rob Lee from Oakland a good friend, though just by lack of opportunity we would speak, run into each other three or four times a year. But Rob was 59 or 60 years old. When I first knew him, he was single, and soon after that he found his wife and married, and they had three sons. We had that, both of us had three sons, had that in common, and also had a love and an appreciation for the game of basketball. Rob was working for the city of Oakland last week and died in a tragic accident. He comes from a godly family. His father was a minister, and he was a very godly man. I was always so impressed with him was his humility. Never wanted to call attention to himself, but he was involved in a lot of good things around the community. And I'd like to just briefly say a prayer for his family. Our Lord, we're thankful that you have blessed the Oakland area, the community there with Rob Lee. And we pray that his family would continue to be a blessing. And we pray for your healing in this time of this tragedy. But we know that it's not tragedy in the full sense, that Rob went to be with you and to his reward. He was a believer, trusted in your son, and we know that things will work out well for him and his family. It's in Jesus' name that we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I know both you, Robert, and Jeff had your own health scares recently. One of your sons said, Dad, I think you need to get to the hospital, and you went through a number of tests. And I think Jeff was actually here one day telling me about it, and then It was good to see you back and playing, and then yesterday here on Memorization Monday. And then I know, Jeff, you also had a health scare that you were telling me about his health scare, and they thought this could be cancer and, you know, deadly. God kind of took you through some of that, Jeff, that journey of uncertainty.
And his wife had a stay in the hospital for 6 days.
Yeah, getting no isn't for sissies, is what I've always said. Getting older.
Yeah. Now, a quote that Robert gave me the other day about you, Jeff, was that he has a face for TV and a voice for radio. How did that work? Usually everyone says I have a face for radio, but you have a face for TV.
That was my idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd received that text, and I thought that was pretty memorable.
Sure. Now, yesterday, we didn't really get to share it over the air, but I thought Jeff could even ad-lib on this. But you had said, you know, there's a lot of spiritual parallels with ping pong or table tennis. And as we're producing this program, I'm looking out through the Great News Radio doors, and there's the cardboard set up, because I believe you two will be playing table tennis pretty soon. But I was saying, it looks like Jeff put that cardboard in a straighter line. I said, sometimes a wind gust or something will tip it over. And then you said, well, there's a real interesting spiritual parallel with that.
In the Bible, it's talking about making straight paths and somebody is upright and straight and so forth. But in regard to our cardboard, it's imperative that it be crooked.
Yeah, so crooked, and it's kind of like a snake.
Yes,
so
serpentine.
If you take cardboard and you have it more like a snake, then it holds up. It doesn't get tipped over with the wind or a gust.
Jeff needs so much space to show off his yeah. mobility and so forth that he stretches the cardboard out farther than what it should be stretched, be that as it may.
And some of you might say, cardboard, what does that have to do with table tennis? Well, these guys hit the ball so hard and so fast that they would spend hours chasing after it if it wasn't for this cardboard that becomes like a barrier. It's like a, I don't know what, about a 3.5 foot tall cardboard wall mm-hmm. that's all around the table. So when I play, it only has to be about 6 or 8 feet from the table because we don't need all the space. They have it like 10 and 15 and 20 feet away from the table because they take up that much space to
Jeff
play.
Would use the whole wing if it was permitted out there in the mall. But my illustration is what I call the not-so-holy trinity of table tennis. And I can just hear Marianne in the background. Just
She's going crazy right now.
Yeah. So the three things that I think are important in table tennis have to do with the direction, the speed, and the spin. And in a sense, in our spiritual lives, God sets a direction. So I'm talking in regard to placement, where the ball is, where you're aiming it at, is imperative. And God, for us, he does that. And I think of a quote from a 60s Bob Dylan song, "One should never be where one does not belong."
So
you want to hit the ball at the right spot. So that's direction. That's the first thing. The second thing is the speed. And a lot of people think, okay, if I hit the ball hard enough, that's going to be enough to win the point. But speed, you know, it's important. But in regard to following Jesus, it's important that we don't dawdle too far behind or run too far ahead. We need to be, you know, like Goldilocks, just right, just, you know, where he's at. And then the third thing is spin, and that is energy. And it's hard to judge, it's hard to evaluate, and it's hard to see. And I think about the Holy Spirit in regard to what Jesus said in John 3, I think. The spin's almost invisible, but... And Mark has found this out in his advancement up the ranks of talented players. If you get the paddle in the
Did you hear that, Jeff? Yeah. Talented players. Talented players.
Okay. hyper talented. When Mark gets the paddle in front of where the ball is, and that spin is such, he can block it back. And it's much like a bunt in baseball. But it can be a point winner, even though you've done almost nothing.
No.
Sorry.
Take me down a few notches again.
Yeah. But in our lives, sometimes the Spirit does things, and Jeff may be feeling this right now, just by being available at the right place at the right time, God can do things, even if we can't fully appreciate the spin. So in table tennis, we've got those three things, the not-so-holy trinity, direction, speed, and spin.
Jeez. They can contact you if they need a transcript of all that information.
I think it'll preach.
Sure. Well, Jeff, you kind of went through a health scare recently, and I know you have a little story to tell, even though you're a little bit reluctant, but I know you come here on various nights, and you talk about listening to the radio station and being blessed by what's been shared and said. You know, we've had you on once before, but talk us a little through that health scare, because there's probably people right now that there's uncertainty. They haven't heard back from the doctor. They're thinking the worst. They don't know what's going to go next. Were those the same kind of emotions you had? Because were you told you might have cancer?
I was told that I did have cancer, but then it came back negative. But it's kind of like the weather. You can't do anything about it, so you just got to rely on God with everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like when I came to know the Lord late in life. I'm getting ready to turn 60, March 6th, if anybody wants to give me a present or anything. But in my 40s, I was actually an over road driver, and my son called me and says, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to Iraq." Hmm. And then my wife called and said, my daughter been in a very bad accident, and my wife just got done with open heart surgery. So that, you know, sometimes it takes a blow to the head or whatever to bring you to know the Lord, you know, because you know you can't do it yourself.
Right,
you've got to have somebody.
Yeah, people say the Lord will bring you to the end of yourself, to where you finally have to either lean into Him or cry out to Him or seek after Him. So this was how many years ago?
About 12, 13 years ago.
So all that was happening at the same time?
Right, within 2 weeks.
Were you raised in a Christian home?
Yes.
Or were you,
yeah, I was raised Catholic.
Okay, so you knew of Jesus and you knew...
We went to church every week, you know, and... they went through the Bible, like, verse at a time, the whole Bible in a year and everything. It's not like I read the Bible now.
Right.
So I never really did that as a kid growing up.
And so that turning point, I mean, your wife's going through open heart. Your daughter's been in an accident.
A bad accident.
Your son's going to serve overseas. So there's also this uncertainty. As you found yourself crying out to God, did you feel a sense of peace or that He was listening? Or did a relationship just start beginning to bloom?
That's exactly what happened. I mean, I just relied on God. And funny story was, I'm not an over-the-road driver anymore, but I was then. And I was in my sleeper on my knees crying out to God. And I asked God, I says, "Can you even hear me? You know, are you listening?" And then I heard, Jesus is listening. And I opened my curtains and looked. And I left my radio on kind of a little bit. And it was Mark Bishop singing, "Jesus is listening."
Wow, the timing of that.
I know. It was something else, but yeah.
Now, Robert, how long have you known Jeff? Has it been because of ping pong, tennis?
Yeah.
About 7 years, I think, six.
That sounds about right. Now, I've been an AutoZone customer, but I never really had been at a store whenever he was making the deliveries. But, yeah, table tennis is what
kind of connected you.
Yep.
Now, have you, over these years, seen some growth in Jeff? I know sometimes when you guys are out there, you'll stop and do a little sermonizing, or especially, I know, Jeff, you wait patiently, but Robert starts preaching a little message or talking to somebody or witnessing, and you're kind of like, okay, I'll wait this out. But have you seen opportunity where you both are able to share with people?
Oh absolutely. His love for the Lord and interest in, you know, learning the Bible and different things. Recently, I'd run across a podcast, or it's an archived thing of a professor at a Ozark Bible College talking about Gospel of Mark.
Gospel of Mark. I'm glad I don't have to take a test on it, but I am learning.
So it was a very convenient thing that basically, utilizing his phone and technology and the time that he has in the truck, it's like he's going to college. So,
right.
So gets a lot more benefit out of that than just hearing me, you know, rant and rave.
And I know, Jeff, you've said you've tuned in to 89.3. Was it Unshackled? You had a couple of favorite programs or preachers.
Yeah, I love Unshackled because I'm going through here at night, and it's just realistic stories. I mean, it's real stories, the hardships people have gone through to come to know the Lord. And I can relate to that.
Well, I would be remiss if you both didn't do some kind of shout-out for your wives. I can't say your wives. You'd have multiple, you know, concubines then. But your wife, Robert, and your wife, Jeff, tell me something about them and some of that story.
My first wife.
Yeah. Your first and favorite wife.
That's right. Pamela Lynn is her full name. And so when we got married, think about all the letters in Pamela Lynn Elizabeth Hemingway. she shortened that to her maiden name for a middle name. But I lovingly say that after I was married 20 years, I'd figured out that I'd married my grandmother.
Oh, jeez.
And she takes that as a compliment, which is the way I intended it. But she's very... very stable in her faith and strong. I heard a good illustration last week on, what's the Wagamuth, the lady?
Nancy Lee DeMoss.
Wagamuth.
Yeah.
Of an illustration of Elizabeth Elliot as being described as a velvet-covered brick. And that's a pretty good illustration of my wife. I mean, she's she can seem uncompromising at points, but, I mean, she... believes in the Lord, believes the Bible, trusts it, and on a very personal level. And those things are not negotiable. Mm-hmm. And so as a parent, sometimes she come across the kids like, Mom's kind of tough.
Yeah. I know when people use that, like they're solid, mm-hmm. and yet they have that soft side where yeah. they can really be used of God in different ways, but they don't compromise. That's a great way to put it.
I've noticed the velvet has gotten much thicker with the grandkids.
Yes, sure. And, Jeff, tell us a little about your wife, Betty.
Okay, well, she's a lovely lady. I love her very much. And
and coming out of Valentine's Day, you know, I want to keep you guys out of the doghouse, so make this good.
Okay. Oh, in case I forgot, happy Valentine's. But I really feel for her. I mean, I love her, and she's a very good woman, and she believes in Jesus, but she's had a hard life. Mm-hmm. She had a really hard upbringing and everything else, and now she's past 12 years going through a lot of health issues, but mm-hmm. she remains strong. She's a good woman.
Yeah, you mentioned when you had your cancer scare that she had just spent 6 or so days in the hospital. Mm-hmm. She gets out, and then you're having to go in for these tests and such. Is she doing better, or how can we pray for her?
She's not... doing real well. I mean, I like to say she's hanging in there, mm-hmm. but she's on blood thinner because of her heart valve.
Okay.
And what she hit her nose and it wouldn't stop bleeding, and it wouldn't stop bleeding for days. And so she lost a lot of blood, and that's what she deals with on a daily basis. You know, she's got to be really careful.
Mm. But now, Robert, Jeff shared a little of his faith journey, growing up attending church, but not having that personal relationship till later on, till he really cried out to God, and God met him in a really supernatural way through a radio broadcast, through a song. In our closing couple minutes, give us a little thumbnail view into some of your faith journey.
Mine is pretty boring. It's about like my medical history when I was at the hospital a week or so ago. It's like, we don't have much to talk about here. But grew up in a Christian home and had a grandfather who did some preaching and very very influential in our church area and so forth. But had a very good upbringing in the church and at home. Mother and father, both believers and strong. My mother's still with us, and she's kind of a rock and in our life. She's 89, and I mean, she's had some bumps in the road, but I mean, she's still motoring on. I think probably...
Well, you have a grandmother is a rock, a wife is a brick, you know. the son's the stones that get thrown around.
That's right. I think probably kind of a watershed moment for me, kind of similar to what's his name? Jeff had to say.
You've only played, 8 or 9 years of table tennis with him, whatever his name is.
Normally I remember his name. When my middle son had a seizure and ultimately what was a benign calcium growth taken out from inside his temple, that was a moment, and prayer became more important at that point. And so, you know, you kind of, when those bumps in the road come along, you kind of have, you know, am I going to stay down, or do you, you know, get back up and rely on God and move forward?
But when did you feel like the calling to preach and study God's Word and prepare Sunday school lessons? Because, you know, that's kind of all in.
I started preparing for that sort of thing in college, but basically came back and started farming and did some part-time preaching and stuff like that in a small rural church. But I love doing it. It's an opportunity that I really enjoy.
Well, on this Testimony Tuesday, I appreciate Robert Hemingway and Jeff Liebach being a part on very short notice coming in and sharing. Well, guys, thanks for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends.
Oh, it was our pleasure.
Yeah.
What he said.
Well, I'm going to close out with Jesus is Listening by Mark Bishop and let you reconnect with that time when God spoke to you very specifically, and may it also be an encouragement to all of you. Here is Jesus is Listening by Mark Bishop. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
Like the woman drawing water from the well, all she needed was someone she could tell, and he heard every word, but that was just the start. But no one heard.